And I missed having these fellowship meetings. I feel like it's been a long time since we've been able to get together. And the last one was supposed to be with us at Rushville in December, and we weren't able to have that due to some sickness breaking out. We finally got the bug to catch up with Rushville. And, you know, we're a little behind the times in Rushville, and so everything's just a little bit slower to get there. And but it showed up, and we had to bow out of that one. But it's sure good to be back here today. Appreciate the privilege. There's many good preachers in our fellowship, and I certainly don't feel that I am in the right place. A lot of times I stand up here to preach to the preachers. That's a great honor, and I hope the Lord will help us today. Revelation 22, if you've got your Bible handy. And I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture this afternoon. It's verse number 17. And the Lord's burdened me with this verse as I had been praying about what to preach coming into today. And I'm not sure what all He has in store for us, but I'm just going to try to mind Him. And this is where we're going to be today. Revelation 22 and verse number 17. Why don't you stand with me and we'll read this verse together. In reverence to the word of the Lord, the Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for being good to us, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for, Lord, this invitation that You've given us, Lord. Thankful for that water, Lord, that leads to eternal life, Father, Lord. It's been so good, Lord, to be able to have of that drink, Lord, that life-changing water. Lord, I pray that You'd help us today. Lord, as we try to look at the text, Father, help our mind to be clear and help our words to be helpful to Your people. Lord, I pray You'd encourage the preacher. I pray, Father, Lord, those that are, Lord, been working and laboring in the fields, Lord, where they're called. I pray, Father, You give them an encouragement, Father, Lord, to start this year, Lord, that this might be the most fruitful year of their ministry, and Lord, most, glorious year for You in Your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Lord, we thank You for this verse here. I want you to think about this for a minute. Here we're coming to the very end, right? This is the end of the Scriptures. We are coming down to that finishing line. And I got to thinking about this this afternoon as I was praying about what to preach. And the Lord brought my mind here. I've been doing a lot of studying with the church. We've been over in 1 Timothy on Sunday nights. We've been in Ephesians on Wednesday nights, just going through verse by verse and studying and going through with the church. And I love those Pauline epistles. I love his introductions and how he finishes his letters in each book, because you really get the heart of the writer when you get to those points. You see Paul oftentimes open up with mentioning of his prayer life, how that he prays for them, how he rejoices over the churches, and he introduces with something encouraging, maybe like that. But then when he gets to the end of the chapter, he often will mention people by name, and he'll say, "You let Lydia know, let Eunice know, let those people that's working in the church, let them know we're praying for them, we love them." It gets a little more personal right there at the end, and I think the Holy Ghost just knew what he was doing as from Genesis chapter number 1 in the beginning, God, he comes down here all the way at the end, and he gives something of a personal invitation here at the end. He's worked his whole 66 books of the Bible. He's worked this entire time to bring us to this point, to the climax, to the finishing line, and gets us to a place here where we're looking at the final handful of verses of Scripture. And one last time he says, "Now I want you to come. I want to give this invitation." I got to thinking about this final invitation. The final invitation. There is an inner interesting thought here as in verse number 20 and 21, he says, "He that which testifies of these things, surely I come quickly." And I like at the end of verse 20, you see, "Even so come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. So John puts in his finale there in verse number 19 and 20. He puts in his final thoughts. But the final thoughts of God in heaven, his last word that he wants to pin down here, he said, "John, write this down. This is the place that I have been trying to draw people to since Genesis chapter number 1. I want them to come and take of this water of life freely." This final invitation. Now we can say here with this final invitation, there's the application that's there, that it could be the last invitation you ever hear. There could be the last invitation you ever get. You're getting to the final chapter, the closing of the scripture, and at any moment that invitation could come to an end. You reach the end of your life. You might not ever pass by that loved one or co-worker again. Might be the last time you ever see them. And it's an opportunity for one more invitation. It might be the final one. I know a lot of folks, and I'll just be honest, sometimes I'm guilty of this. We give out invitation after invitation, and sometimes we feel like we don't get anywhere. I'd like to encourage the church today to give out one more invitation, to invite them to come, because it might be the very last one. I see that this invitation here is threefold. I thought that was interesting, as oftentimes our gospel tracts are trifold, you know, and here he is. The Lord's given us a trifold invitation here in Revelation chapter 22 in verse number 17. He starts off with the Spirit saying, "Come." He says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come." The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, he gives the persuading invitation. He gives us an invitation here from the Holy Ghost himself. You can see that capital S on here. It's not the Spirit of John, but it's the Holy Ghost of God, that triune being, the Holy Spirit, given a declaration of an invitation to come and take of this water of life. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we've made it to the end of the Scriptures. The Word of God has been read for 66 books, and we're coming down to the end, and the Holy Ghost says, "Now what are you going to do about it? Come and take that which you have read. Come and take of that which you have learned." I thought about this invitation from the Holy Spirit. It's an invitation, amen, that is persuading, because number one, he declares sin, amen. The Bible says, John 16 and 8, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." He must declare the sin to the sinner. I've never seen a righteous man get saved before, amen. They have to be lost before they can be found. And this sin, it must be declared. They must have that convicting of the Holy Ghost of God. My friend, there's not been a day where anybody has gotten saved where the Holy Ghost had not convicted them of their sin. So he declares their sin, and then he draws the sinner. You see, he convicts of them of sin, and then he convinces them of their Savior. He draws them in. John 6 and 44, the Bible says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." John 12 and 32 says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." There must be that drawing work from the Holy Ghost of God. He'll always take a sinner and he'll show them their sin, but then he'll point them to a Savior, and he'll say, "Why don't you come and take of the water of life freely?" There is the invitation, a persuading invitation from the Holy Spirit, but not only from the Spirit in this text of Revelation 22 17, but also from the saints. This is the partnered invitation. Revelation 22, 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." We see here that it's not just from the Holy Ghost of God to draw men to repentance and to draw them in, to declare their sin and to draw them to the Savior, but he expects us to keep our end of the bargain. Amen. He expects there to be a little bit of teamwork. work. We are laborers together with God, correct? And God is not supposed to be the only one doing the work while we try to reap all the benefits. That's just not how it's going to go in God's economy. He says that there must be a partnership that happens here. You see the word "and" right there in between, don't you? The Spirit and the bride, linking the two together. We must walk in the Spirit, amen, and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, the Bible says, let us also walk in the Spirit, amen. And so when we go out, us and the Holy Ghost, partnered with that Holy Spirit, we're to go out, my friend, and be that witness and be the invitation that somebody needs. The Holy Ghost, in Acts in chapter number 8, he nudged Philip a little bit, didn't he? And the Spirit told Philip to go, and he found that Ethiopian eunuch who was studying from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the suffering servant, and wondered of all the things he was reading. Didn't understand it, but he was asked. Philip asked him, said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, no. He said, and how can I accept some man guide me? The Holy Ghost was already at work. Everything was ready, but he needed somebody to go to help point him to Christ. My friend, if we think that we just leave it all up to God and not do nothing, then we're taking it all wrong. Amen. The Spirit and the bride say, come. It's a partnership with the Holy Spirit, and it's a partnership with the saints. Thank God for churches like this one. I was walking up the hall there from the entryway and looking at the missionaries supported on the wall. I'm looking over there and seeing all the countries and all the people groups and Bible translators and everything going on there on that wall to make sure that the gospel is getting to every creature. That is the bride's job. Amen. That is the ultimate goal of the bride of Christ, to get the gospel to every creature. It's been said that it's our final marching orders, and it's to be our first priority. We are to get the gospel out. It's a partnership. Aren't you glad that when you go door knocking, you can go two by two? Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't it nice when you can have church-wide soul winning? And everybody can gather together with the same goal and the same mind to go out and try to win their neighborhood to the Lord. Listen, it's good when we can get behind the pulpit and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And any preacher worth his weight in salt is often going to run back to Calvary and show his people the suffering Savior. And he's going to point to that empty tomb, showing where he's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. But my friend, the pulpit is not to be the only place that this gospel is preached. If it's preached behind the pulpit and the pulpit alone, we're failing. Amen. We need to get out there into the public places, the highways and the hedges, and compel others that they might come in. We got to get out there with this invitation and invite folks to come and take of the water that you so enjoyed yourself. Amen. There's the Spirit's invitation is the persuading invitation. The saints' invitation is the partnered invitation. I like this last one. No, that's really where I want to get to, and we're going to be focused today. I find the student, and this is the personal invitation. The Bible says here, Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. It becomes a whole lot more personal as we make way through our verse. It becomes something that we point and say, God, you do the work. And we point at the church and say, preacher, go visit my family. Deacon, go and knock on that door. Come to my neighborhood. Send your people this way. My friend, and it comes down and gets a whole lot more personal. And then all of a sudden now, the Bible says, let him that heareth say, come. My friend, you say, who is that? Who is he he that heareth well. If I understand this correctly, I believe in contextual here, it's speaking of John, right? It's John the writer. 30 times throughout the book of Revelation, John claims, I heard, if my count there is correct. And he heard many things as we go and study through Revelation. But the application can be made that you have heard these same truths. And personally, we must take responsibility to act upon those truths that we have learned and that we have believed in, and act upon those outside these walls and give that invitation, for it might be the final one. Let him that heareth say, come. My friend, this takes the responsibility from being solely on the Holy Ghost of God, solely on the church, the collected assembly. Listen, it takes it from being on the preacher's job and being God's job, and all of a sudden it lands right in your lap. And let him that heareth say, come. Amen. Listen, we have no excuse to not take the gospel to our family and to our loved ones. We have no excuse to not take the gospel to our co-workers and to those we call our friends. An atheist I read once said, how much does a Christian have to hate a man to hold what he says is everlasting life in his hand and not offer it to his neighbor? My friend, what a sad truth that is. My friend, we must take a personal responsibility and get the gospel out. This student here, John, 30 times said, I heard. So what did he hear throughout Revelation that brought him to this point that he was taking this responsibility to take this invitation to the world? Well, number one, let's go back here to chapter number one of Revelation. And let me say that, first of all, the very first time he heard anything in Revelation, he heard the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what he heard. You know, that's what the name of the book's about. Listen, don't get nervous about Revelation. I see people get nervous about it, Brother Thornsley. They get worried and shaky around it. They say, preacher, the Antichrist. Preacher, the tribulation. Preacher, this and that. Hey, listen, friend. We're going to show you something here in just a minute. This ain't the revelation of the tribulation. This is not the revelation of an Antichrist. This is not a revelation of the beast or a false prophet. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just look at verse number one. The Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And now I want you to jump over, for time's sake, let's jump over there to about verse number 10. The Bible says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Did you catch that? He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. There is a partnership going on here. The Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit says, come. And here is John, that student. And he is now getting ready to give out an invitation to say, come. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Oh, yes, friend. Ain't you glad that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ? Listen, if we get our focus off of Jesus Christ and Revelation, my friend, you can get all messed up. You want to know what the book of Revelation's about? It's to give you a glimpse of the glorified Son of God, to watch Him rule and to reign, to redeem His people unto Himself. My friend, to redeem the earth to Himself, to take the rightful throne, my friend, and victory in the end of this thing. My friend, everything in Revelation, it's not about the Antichrist, though he's in the book. It's not about the beast, though he's in the book. The false prophet, 666. Listen, it's not about these things. It's about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. My friend, glorified and lifted up. And he heard something, a voice as of a trumpet. My friend, I can't wait till the day I get to hear that voice.
as of a trumpet. That's the invitation to come up hither. Amen. Oh, John, he heard a voice. He heard it. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, but not only did he hear the revelation of Jesus Christ speaking to him and began to show him things. In Revelation in chapter number 5, we find out that John, the student, this personal invitation, he heard about the redemption of Jesus Christ. Look with me at verse number 1 of chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, and which within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book thereof and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to... Aren't you glad it doesn't end right there? Amen. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not." Oh, what sweet words. You hear that? "Weep not," he said. "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain." Time out. I love that verse right there. You say, "Why, preacher?" Because, Brother Nichols, slain lambs don't stand. They're dead. But this one was a little bit different. You say, "Who is he?" He's the suffering lamb of Isaiah 53. He was the one that was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. My friend, he died on that cross of Calvary, butchered and bled for our sins. But the Bible says his life was not taken. He laid his life down. And because he laid it down, he had the power to take it back again. My friend, in the midst of this throne stood a lamb as it had been slain. Glory to God. Oh yes. And he hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Oh yes. And verse 7, it says, "He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.'" Hey friend, he heard something. He heard about the redemption of Jesus Christ, how that he could redeem people from all over the world, every nation, every kindred, every tribe, my friend, every people. There is no excuse to not give out an invitation, because the redemption of Jesus Christ can cover all, my friend. And if we got that knowledge, if we understand who Jesus Christ is, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we understand what he has done, the redemption of Jesus Christ, then why in the world are we quiet? Now, why would we not speak up? Why would that invitation not go forth? Why are we not on the rooftops sounding off like a trumpet? Why are we sparing? Why are we holding back when the world needs the things that you've heard? You see, he heard the revelation of Jesus Christ. He heard of the redemption of Jesus Christ. And in chapter number 22, he hears of the return of Jesus Christ 3 times in chapter 22, as God is closing the final chapter of the final book. Verse number 7, he says, "Behold, I come quickly." Verse number 12, "And behold, I come quickly." Verse number 20, which testifieth these things, saith, "Surely I come quickly." My friend, he's coming back. He's not only been revealed at the beginning, His redemption, but He is coming back. He's going to return. Listen, His return is sure. You mark it down. He said, I will come. He said, I am on my way. I come quickly. So we know it's sure and we know it's soon, because it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen quickly. My friend, this might be the last opportunity. This might be the last invitation before the book is closed. My friend, on the Bible, He said, come, take of the water of life freely. The Spirit says, come. The bride said, come. Let him that heareth say, come. The invitation has been given. God said, before the book closes, give one last invitation. And I want to say to the church today, to my preaching brethren, my friend, give one last invitation. It might be the final one. And before the trumpet sounds, before Christ makes His glorious return, my friend, I want to go down inviting as many as I can to come. Oh, and let him that is athirst come and take of this water of life freely. Oh, friend, what an invitation. What a close to the glorious Scriptures. To read all through and come to this point, and God would take the time to give one last invitation. Why wouldn't I? When's your book going to close? You don't know. When's the last chapter going to be read and the trumpet sound? We don't know. But I know this. This invitation might be the last. If you're here today, you're not saved, I invite you to come. Take of the water of life freely. If you're here today, my friend, and you're a born-again believer, you've heard the same things that John has heard. You know who Jesus is. You know what He's done. And you know He's coming back soon. Then we have no excuse to get out there this year and give the invitation. Let's all stand. Brother John, you come on ahead, preacher.